On the show today, we have Defying Gravity founder Melina Palmer talking about behavioral economics and the impact of irrational behavior on credit unions. So check it out.
NAFQ Services offers a peer-vetted portfolio of trusted providers. Our preferred partners are your proven partners. Their support enables NAFQ to be the most powerful advocate for credit unions. NAFQ Services, supporting credit union success for over 40 years.
Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Melina Palmer now. I almost said Melina Young, but it's Palmer now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you are the founder of Defying Gravity, but you used to be in charge of the marketing there at Verity Credit Union, so you have a very fine background. Congratulations on that as well.
Thank you. Been a busy year, yeah, for sure.
Sounds like it. And we're going to talk about a really cool topic today that I'm super interested in as well. It's called Behavioral Economics and the Impact of Irrational Behavior on Credit Unions. I'm so fascinated by this topic, so I can't wait to dive in here. So just to kind of kick off here, Melina, can you tell us about behavioral economics and the impact of irrational behavior on credit? Just a kind of a quick summary.
Yeah, so behavioral economics is a relatively new field that is coming about in the last maybe 10 years or so, but it's definitely starting to gain more traction.
Yeah.
Essentially, what it is I like to say, if traditional economics and psychology had a baby, you would have behavioral economics. So the reason that it needed to come into play is that traditional economics and its models assume logical people making rational decisions, which they aren't and they don't.
Right.
And so often the models that are created are not accurate, mm-hmm. and they don't predict the right behavior of what people are actually going to do, even if it's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
And so economists and psychologists started working together and or stepping into one another's fields and doing tests and looking for trends and trying to find what is actually influencing the behavior that people are undertaking every single day,
mm-hmm.
and being able to use that information to make better decisions from the aspect of, you know, economics, but also just any way that consumers are going to be acting, or in the case of credit unions, the way that your members are behaving, the mm-hmm. things they're doing, and what is influencing their decisions that they don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know them, then you can make better decisions and present things to your yeah. members in a better way.
Yeah, this sounds like a distant cousin of big data. It sounds like we're in the same ballpark here.
Yeah, I would say there are definitely tie-ins with mm-hmm. pretty much everything, but yeah, big data for sure. You can find a lot of alignment.
Yeah, or data analytics, whatever you want to call it. It's all kind of being synonymous these days. But so what is the irrational behavior that you're referring to? Is it just people going crazy with credit cards, or what's the behavior here?
You know, truly it's all behavior.
Okay.
And the reason that this sort of comes up, and what I always talk about when I'm speaking on this topic, is I like to talk about how the brain works and how it has developed and how that impacts the way that people act.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is called different things by different people. I like to just sort of go subconscious and conscious brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not the same as left and right brain, and they're not two systems that work separately. They're both going, chugging along at the same time and working. But your subconscious brain is doing so much more work than your conscious brain.
Okay.
So we tend to think about our brains in the context of that conscious piece. That's what we're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're thinking about thinking and you know that you're thinking about things. And so that's all that you consider often when you think about what your brain's actually doing. But studies have shown that the subconscious part, all the other stuff that's going on, the lowest I've seen is that's 95% of what your brain is actually doing. I've seen as high as 99.999%.
Wow. Goodness.
Yeah, it's subconscious. And so if you think, let's say average, right, 1% of what your brain is doing is only that conscious mm-hmm. stuff, all that subconscious is going on and making choices that you don't even know about. So essentially it's just running and going and saying normal, 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 normal flag. And then it's letting your conscious brain take note of something and pay attention to it. And it's still just going and going and going. And so we think we know what we're doing. We think we know why we're doing things or how it's making those choices, but truly we don't. And now we do.
I think I need a little bit of therapy just listening to that. 'Cause it sounds like somebody's hijacked my brain.
It's crazy. It really is fascinating. But there are all these, you know, the nice thing about our brains are, because they've got so much going on, they've developed rules of thumb over time that they use to make decisions and choices. And so understanding that your brain is really averse to losing things. And so loss aversion is a really big thing that you can keep in mind. And it doesn't have to be negative, but instead of focusing on gains. And we all... our society is just full of gain focus, swipe your card and then you'll get this, buy 10, get one free. But finding a way to flip that around instead to take the loss approach is actually going to be more impactful. So the example I like to give in a credit union space would be, instead of saying, swipe your card 20 times and we'll give you $50 or however much. If you flip it and say, hey, we've put $50 in your account, swipe your card 20 times and you get to keep it.
And
you can see it in the current balance. It's not quite yet available, but you really want to move it over. You're going to be more likely to take that action when you can see that you have perceived ownership over that. You don't want to lose it than you would if it's just some fictitious $50 that theoretically might show up someday.
Okay. Oh, I see. And you kind of stole my thunder here with my next question, because I was going to say, what's the impact on credit unions? Because I think you just kind of alluded to it right there.
So yeah, that's one example, and there's so many. So there's also, if you think about the way that the brain works, it gets overwhelmed incredibly quickly. And so there's a really fascinating study where they have people, they had two different groups. One group was remembering a two-digit number. The other group was remembering a seven-digit number, just random number. And then they had them walk into another room where they're supposed to recall this number. Very simple task, the people in the two-digit number group, so everybody then picked a snack. Choose your snack on your way to the next room, not knowing that's what the actual test was about. But the people in the two-digit group were more likely to order fruit salad, and the people in the seven-digit group were more likely to order chocolate cake. So when your brain is overwhelmed, when your conscious brain is overwhelmed with even something as simple as remembering a seven-digit number instead of a two-digit number, it was more likely to pick the really easy option, the thing it wants, the thing that looks better versus the healthy choice. And so when you think about all the things that come in at new member orientation, or you know, if you're trying to convert a new member, mortgage process, loan process, all the things that we're telling people, and how often those individuals say, thanks for all this, I'm going to take it home and think about it and I'll get back to you. And it's because their brain just can't make that choice it's so overwhelmed with all these other aspects. So what can you remove from that process to make it so it's not so overwhelming? You know, we're a little behind the eight ball isn't the right term, but you know, you're kind of stuck in a regulatory space where there are things you have to say and provide, but what do they actually need to know and hear at the time that they're needing to make the right decision versus what we think we should tell them or they might want to know?
So how do we, first of all, I don't care if it's a two-digit number or a seven-digit number. I'm picking the chocolate cake every time, so I would fail that one. But so how do we resolve this? I mean, like you gave some really good examples of what just kind of flipping the model. Is that kind of like the solution here to kind of train our brains to work, or train your members' brains, I guess, to work in a different way, I guess? Or
so I think instead of trying to fight evolution and train the brain to work differently, it would be changing your behavior inside of your organization to meet what the brain is doing. So understanding what these trends are, just how the brain works, and it's been evolving for hundreds of thousands of years to do what it does. So you're not going to change it at your financial institution, regardless of size, or, you know, that's just not going to happen. And so understanding what people are actually doing, and knowing that if you've ever had done a focus group or a survey and people tell you what they're going to do or what they would like or how they would behave, and then you give them exactly what they said they wanted and then they don't do it. They don't do the thing they said they were going to do. You know, this is why. It's because people don't know. They don't understand what they're going to do. There are really small changes that can make big differences. Those were a couple tweaks I was just mentioning. I've seen another study where changing one word from in an end cap display changed a sales conversion up 38% when you change one word.
Wow.
And so knowing how that works and understanding it and really testing things out. The thing about behavioral economics is it's a really academic field so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so new, everything that people are looking at, and it's obviously incredibly useful, everything that's been done has been fantastic and wonderful, but it's backward focused, trying to see what happened and why, mm-hmm. and finding those individual concepts of how the brain is working. So loss aversion, perceived ownership, anchoring and adjustment, availability, mm-hmm. relativity, and on and on and on, mm-hmm. habitual mm-hmm. buying, and finding those concepts as they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I am trying to do, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, there will be more of us as time goes on, but is finding those pieces of how your brain is actually working, mm-hmm. and using that in a forward focus, being mm-hmm. able to take that and test it and help organizations to see, this is great, this is what that concept means, here's how you use mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. information.
Now,
so it's what I'm trying to do.
Gotcha. And from a credit union's perspective, and I already know the answer to this, but I want to hear your take on it. Why is this so important to a credit union from their perspective?
It's important because it exists, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is how the human brain works, whether you know it or not. And you can be darn sure that large organizations, big banks, as this is getting more traction and people are seeing that this is a thing, I guarantee this is going to be a hot conference topic in 2018 and 2019 and past that point. And you know, those larger organizations, they're paying people to come in and do studies for them, mm-hmm. and they will be using this. And if one word changes can be increasing their conversion rates by 38%,
mm-hmm.
What is that going to be meaning to your bottom line if you're not paying attention?
So cool. Oh my gosh. You're going to be a busy, busy person next year for the next couple of years.
That's the hope.
I think so. I mean, especially if Creighton's really buy into this, which I think they should. I think, oh my gosh. Oh man. All right. To wrap up, where can we find out more information on this topic? Cause we could go on for another half hour at least, I know, but I know you got stuff to do. And so, yeah, where can we find out more stuff on this? Obviously your website or
yes.
You have a white paper and stuff. So
I do. Yeah. Yay. So my ebook just has been released here recently in the last couple of weeks. So that's available on my website if you wanted to sign up. And that is the 10 behavioral economics concepts you need to know and how to apply them. And it's very much a taste into some of these concepts I've already talked about. But it can give you an idea and really help to get you thinking what's there. So my website is brandsthatsoar.com.
I'm looking at it right now. Brandsthatsoar. I got it. Okay, cool. And I'll put the PDF or the ebook in with the show notes and stuff so people can click on it and get right to it. So it'd be really neat. Yeah.
Great.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
In there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else to wrap up, Melina? I'm so fascinated in this topic, and I think it's really going to take off in the next couple of years. I think you're really onto something here, I think.
Thank you. I would say the only other thing, as I have said, it's a new field. There's so much to be unearthed and discovered and figured out and tested and tried. Yeah. And I know for me, I can come up with some ideas of areas of interest, but really knowing what questions people have, if you're sitting there and saying, I wonder how this impacts X or Y or Z or A or whatever, at your credit union or in yourself as a consumer or mm-hmm. whatever it happens to be, please send those questions to me. I will be doing research over the coming years, either with credit union partners or other organizations mm-hmm. or on my own. And whatever your thoughts or questions are, it's important to know what people are actually wanting answers to so
yep.
I can help to provide that. So please email me, just Melina@brandsthatsoar.com. or comment on my Facebook or whatever, just reach out to me.
Right on, right on. And I have a feeling there's might be a book in the works here in the next couple of years for you. I have an inkling.
That is the plan.
All right, Melina, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to chat with us about this really, I think, a growing topic that's gonna benefit us all. So very good stuff. And let's check back in too, see what progression we've made as well. It'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely, anytime.
NAFQ Services offers a peer-vetted portfolio of trusted providers. Our preferred partners are your proven partners. Their support enables NAFQ to be the most powerful advocate for credit unions. NAFQ Services, supporting credit union success for over 40 years.